Okay, we are on the bottom of Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. Over Shabbos, on Shabbos we did Kuf Dalet, and yesterday we were prohibited from learning anything further. So now we're up to Kuf Hei, which is today's daf, and we're right up to date. The bottom line, Tana. We learned in the Braisa, Nischavein Lichtov Os Achas, if somebody has Kavana to write one letter, for Olu Biyado Shtayim, and he ended up writing two letters. Again, his hand somehow, he wanted to make a ches, Rashi explains, and his hand slipped, and the roof of the ches was not connected, so therefore he left with two zayins. So you wanted to write one letter, and you ended up writing two. Shtayim, chayev, yuchayev. Yuchayev. So the Gemara says, v'atnan potter. But our Mishnah says, if that in that case you're potter. So the Gemara answer is, lokash, it's not a problem. Ha deba'i ziyune. Our Mishnah is talking about where you need the tagin of the Zion. There are certain letters. The acronym is Shatnez Getz. Those letters of Shatnez Getz require tagin on the letter. One of those is a Zion. The Zion has three tagin. There are some letters that have one tag, like a kuf and a hey. But a Zion has three little Zions, they're called. Three little tagin on top of the Zion. So for a Sefer Torah, that's Ma'akev. So if you write... So the lokasha, so hadaboy is the yune. If you need the zayins, if you need those tagin, then you didn't finish the letter. So then you're not chayiv. Ha the low boy is the yune. This brisa over here says, you're not writing a sefer Torah. You're writing a book. You're writing something else. You don't need the tagin. I'm a akiv. So then you're going to be chayiv. That's how you reconcile the brisa and the mishnah. So Tosfos asks, we learned already daf ayin gimel. Ayin Gimel, right? That if somebody has a kavana to throw something 2 amos and it lands 4 amos, you're potter, right? So if somebody has kavana to write os achas and it ends up being 2 osos, should be potter. Why chay for that? Wasn't my kavana. So Tosos answers: it must be that you had kavana to write another letter also. You had kavana to write a ches, and you were also, even though it says kus of os, even though it says in the bottom line it's chav lichtov os achas. That means the ches was osachas. After that, you were going to write something else too. You were going to write 2 letters. But you didn't even get to that because the ches itself, you made 2 letters. So since your kavana was to write 2 letters, maybe a different 2 letters, still you wrote 2 letters, that's why you're chayev. That's what Tosa says.
I thought we said the other distinction is that
you're
chayev was only 2 amos, and then it rolled on top of the 2 amos, here you're actually writing the same.
But it's the same idea. I only had kavana to 1 letter. I only had kavana for 2 amos. So how could you mechayev me for more? I didn't want to do that. So the answer is, Tosfos, no, you really did. Kasav os achas nutrikun, right? If somebody wrote one letter in an abbreviated form, right? It's like he wrote a kuf to stand for kadosh, or a tuf for truma, Rabbi Shua ben Beseir, mechayev chamon potrin. Fine. So Amr Rabbi Yochanan and Mishur Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, minayin lulashon nutrikun mena Torah. Where do we have any kind of precedent for the Torah to use letters to stand for words? What do you ever see such a thing in the Torah? Shneamar, because it says in Bereishis by Lech Lecha, Ki Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha. Right, Hashem said to Avram, I'm going to make you an Av Hamon Goyim, a father, a prince among the nations. Av, what is Av? Av Nisaticha Lumos. I'm going to make you that's the Aleph. I'm going to make you a father. Bachur nisaticha b'umas. So I'm going to make you chosen among the nations. Hamon chaviv nisaticha. The hey is really a ches, because the ches and the hey can be interchangeable, because they're both guttural. So I'm going to make you beloved among the nations. B'umas. Melech nisaticha b'umas. I made you a king. That's the mem. Vasik nisaticha b'umas. I made you distinguished. Vasik, I made you among the nations. And neemon nisaticha b'umas. I made you trustworthy and neemon among the nations. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan himself had a different vart. It says Anochi in the Aseret HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So Rashi says it should have said Ani Hashem Elokecha. So it's longer Anochi. They both mean I. Why is it a longer word? So Rabbi Yochanan said, we could darshan from that extra letters. Why? Anochi Natrikin, Ana Nafshi, I myself Hashem saying, Ksivas, I wrote this, Yehavitz, and I'm giving it over. That's what it means. I myself wrote it, and I'm giving it over. Rabbanan Ami, Rabbanan say, Amira Ne'ima, a sweet, pleasant words, tziva were written, Yehava, and they were given over. Ikadi Amri, others say, Anochi lemafreya, that the letters Anochi should be read backwards, the yuds first. It means the same thing. Yehiva, Yehive, given, tziva, the writing, Naaman, it was trustworthy writing, Amre, the words in there are Naaman, the words in there are everlasting. Right, right. Because the ches, like we said, the ches and the hay are interchangeable. It's not a proof. Right. This is more of a gadatu gemara. It's not a proof that there's such a concept of writing one letter to refer to a word. It's not a proof. Everyone does that. Everyone writes letters and they mean it for it to mean words. Even in English, right? Even a dollar sign. Everyone does that. It's a gemara. It's a drush. Does the Torah ever do that? Yeah, the Torah does it also. It's just drushes, learning out drushes. Not halacha learned out of this. Sorry. The question about the Mishkan, it's a good question, but in yesterday's daf, what we did on Shabbos, we always say that two letters is chashuv because that's how they would line up to crush them. Right, the Krushim would be in the same spot we said on Shabbos because of Malam Makodesh Ve'emarim. They couldn't move the Krushim somewhere else. So we had to know where they always were. But if you have one letter, and we said it on Shabbos, one letter that ends a book, we said you're chayav for that. Right? Why? Not for Makar Patish. Because that itself is chashuv. So one letter to stand for a word, that itself is chashuv. Right, stam a letter out of the blue, that's not chashuv. But if it's one letter that's chashuv, you're going to be chayav. Even though, right? Because remember, Ksiv is one of those letters. Ksiv is one of those malachas that the shir was given in the Mishnah. Remember, Kosev Shtei Yosef. And we asked, why does the Mishnah give a shir? Because if you don't have the shir, you don't have anything. It's not half a malacha. It's nothing. Right? That's what we had said in the Mishnah. But if it's one letter that means something, then it's very chashuv. Okay. The Be'er Rabbi Nasan Amri that when Bilam over there, the whole story was Bilam and the donkey and the Malach, it says, Ki yorat haderech l'neddi. You rushed on the way. So the word yorat, which means to rush. Yud is yireh. The donkey was afraid. Ra'asa, it saw the Malach. And netasa, it moved over to the side. That's yorat. Deveri b'shmal tana, Carmel, that the Omer has to be brought from Carmel. What's Carmel? Carmole, a full measure. Fine. Rav Yaakov says that when Shimi ben Gera cursed David, right, and they told where Razor always quotes his Musar, when Shimi ben Gera cursed David, so they told David, let's go kill him, he's Mor B'Malchus. So David said, no, he's not cursing me, it's Hashem cursing me, he's just a vehicle, right? Anything that happens to you, it's all from Hashem. He's just a vehicle. So what did it say? It said, V'hu kilani klala nimretzes. He gave me explicit curses. What does it mean? Nutrikun, that Shimi accused David of noefu, right, with Batsheva. He was a noef. He wasn't really a noef, but he called him that. He was cursing him. Moavihu, he wasn't really a Moavi. Right? He wasn't really a Moavi. Yes, Rus was a Moavi. He wasn't a Moavi. Rotzeachu, he's a murderer. Tsoverhu, he's an enemy. Toevahu, he's a Toeva, he's an abomination. All those are the Rosh Tevis of Nimretzes. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Omer, that when the brothers, when Yehuda was talking to Yosef, he was trying to justify the actions, he said, Ma nedaber, uma nitzdadok. Right? How can we justify ourselves? Nechunim anachnu, we're upright, tzadikim anachnu, so nitzdadok is the Rosh Tevis. Tzadikim anachnu, we're upright, tohorim anachnu, we're tohor, dakim anachnu, we're fine, we're pure, and kedoshim anachnu, we are holy. Fine, that ends that. Last mission of the Perek. Hakosev beis osios. If somebody writes two letters, b'shtei ha'olamos, in two ha'olamos, right? Now, according to Rashi, that ends the statement. There's no chiddush in that. The next case, according to Rashi, achas b'shachris, v'achas bein harabayim, you wrote one letter in the morning, and one letter in the afternoon, and Rashi says, Rabbi Gamliel machayiv, v'chacham in potrin, Rabbi Gamliel says, you're chayiv. The Chachamim say, you're potter. Rashi says, kivon dehavaleh shehus bentayim. Since he had a whole day, in the whole day of Shabbos in between, Kedei Leida, to know, to learn the halacha, to realize the Shabbos, Havalei Kishtei Halamos, it's like two halamos. Tosa says, what are you talking about? When do you ever have such a rule? We did have this. Rashi said this back on in the seventh paragraph of Klal Gadol, right? The weeks in between, Rashi said you charged with knowledge because you should have learned the halachas. So Rashi saying the same thing over here. You have a whole day to sit and do nothing. You should know. You should figure it out. Tosa says no. It's one huge case. Shtei halamos. Even if one's in the morning and one's in the night, we don't say like Rashi. We don't say you're going to learn the halacha. Doesn't make a difference how much time has to pass. Could be a year. Doesn't make a difference. If you never learned in between, the halama never changes. Right? The Tosa says, Rashi says, no, you should know. So it's considered one halama. So what's the machlokas? The Gemara says, b'mayikam iflagi, what's the machlokas? We've had this already many times. Rabbi Gamliel Safar, ein yediyah l'chatzik shir. There's no such thing as a halama l'chatzik shir. So if you do one chatzik shir, you write one letter, then the whole day goes by, even if you remember. That's not considered remembering. That doesn't break the mistake. It doesn't break the mistake. Then you have a chati shir later on in the afternoon. You're still chayev. Why? Ein yediyah l'chati shir. You can't have a break in between for a chati shir. For a full shir, yes. Had he written two letters in the morning and two letters in the afternoon, then he'd be chayev twice. Because the halama can break. But for a chati shir, you can't have a halama. For Rabbanan Tzavri, and the Rabbanan say, no, yesh yediyah l'chati shir. The yediyah of a chati shir can't break your mistake. And therefore, you never wrote one shir b'halama, achas, and therefore, you're not going to be chayav achatos. That's the machlokas. Hajjan alach habona, hajjan alach habona, hajjan alach habona. Okay, now we start the parak of Rebbe Elazar Omer ha'oreg. This is called parak ha'oreg, because there's another parak that's called Rebbe Elazar Omer. Amar Aleph is very, as Rebbe Rasner likes to say, it's very, very challenging, because even the art scroll said the exact methods that the Gemara is referring to, the exact methods of the loom, even today, we're not sure what they mean. So we're going to try our best and explain. In the back of the art scroll, there is an appendix that has some pictures. I have the Sefer Maisa Oreg here, written by Dayan Gukovitsky, Dayan Yisrael Gukovitsky, the Dayan in Eretz Yisrael. He has a very, very good picture. It's actually a color picture of the loom. We'll be looking at this picture. I think it's a little better to understand because it shows you the whole loom in one scene, rather than breaking up the different pieces. But even with the picture, it's very, very difficult to know exactly what they're talking about later on in the Gemara. The Mishnah's easy. So we'll start the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ha'orig shlosha chutin batchila. If somebody sows three chutin initially, in the Mishnah we had said, Ha'orig beis chutin. So he argues. He says, you have to sow three. You have to stitch three chutin in order to be chayav for Oreg. Va'achas al ha'orig. And only one if there's already stitching there. In other words, if there's already stitching there, now you're going to come to add on a stitch, even if it's not the end of the beged. Even if it doesn't finish off the beged. There's already stitching there, but even according to him, even one has chashivas. You make... No, so if you're starting off from scratch, you have to make three. But if you're adding...
If you make that first one, you can say, oh, now the first one's there.
No, but that's a joke, because you really, it's a brand new cloth. So if you have, in order to be chayav, initially you have to make three. Once there's already something there, now you're adding on, you only have to make one. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita. We don't hold like that. V'achas al-arik chayav. V'chalam say, bein betchila, bein besof. Doesn't make a difference. What you hold doesn't make a difference. Shi'uro beis chitin. The shear is beis chitin. Ha'osei shtei bati nirin. Binirin. If somebody makes two bate nirin in a nir, what does that mean? So if you look at the picture, the red strings go through the loom, and they go through these circles. They go through these little circles. Each of these circles is called a base nir, because it's called, in English, it's called a heddel. This is the eye of the heddel, where the strings go through them, and they go through them in a crisscross way with the green, and then when the guy steps on these boards on the bottom, it makes the weaves. The stitches start to appear. This is I don't know what this is called, but anyway, there's a bar over here, and the bar has strings hanging down from which the loops of the batinirin are connected at the bottom. The bar is called the nir. This bar is called the nir, and on the bar, there are a bunch of them. On the bar, there are bate nirin. So if you stitch two batei nirin in one nir, that already is the malacha of osa shtei batei nirin. Everyone got that? It's two. In this one, there's one, two, there's four batei nir in each nir. But you only chayav if you do two.
Arthur
calls this a harness. Fine. Right. Even this calls it a harness. Right here, it's a harness. So that's called a harness. So the harness is called a nir. That has hanging down from it strings which have batei nir. Each harness can have more than two, but you only chayav if you do two. That's simple. That's the easy part. So ha'osek shtei batei nirin benirin or bekirus. This frame is called a kirus, which is a different way of setting up the strings. This frame is called a kirus. This yellow frame. This is called a kirus. Rashi says that you use a kirus when you want to make quilts. Maybe it's thicker. That's what Rashi says. So that's a different method of, you don't use batei nirin for a kirus. You just use a kirus. Rashi says, the Gemara didn't explain what it is, and on Amud Beis, the Gemara says it's a harness, which without a picture, you don't know what that means. The binafa bekivra ubisal, very difficult what this means. Is it with a small sieve, or a big sieve, or a basket? So I'm not sure what that means. You're weaving a basket, you're weaving a sieve, maybe that's what it means. So even if it's on a sieve, you're going to be chayev as well. Chayev, you're chayev. Vatofer beis tefiros. And if somebody sews two stitches, v'hakorea almanas litvor beis tefiros, or if somebody rips two stitches on the condition to re-sew it, which we already had that in the Mishnah and Gimel, and the Gemara is going to ask why it's repeated here. So the Gemara says, ki os Rabbi Yitzchak, when Rabbi Yitzchak came, Tani, he learned, shtayim, that Rabbi Eliezer held, you are chayev for two stitches. And our Mishnah says, he's chayev for three. V'hanan tanan, but our Mishnah said Gimel. Right? So Rabbi Yitzchak had a different version of the Mishnah, which said that Rabbi Eliezer held Yechayah for two. And our Mishnah says Yechayah for three. So it's a stira. So the Gemara says, lo kash, it's not a stira. Ha ba'alime, one's talking about thick strings. Ha bikatini, and one is talking about thin strings. Which one's which? The Gemara says it can go either way. We don't know. Amrile lahai gisa, but amrile lahai gisa. Some said it's this way, some said it's this way. Amrile lahai gisa, some said as follows. Alime tlasa, if it's three strings, then you're going to be chayav. Why? Lo sasri, because three strings don't unravel. So that's already, you have three strings, if they're thick, but not unraveling. That's the Mishnah. Tre sasri. But if they're two, then they're going to unravel. Because since they're so thick, it's very hard to keep it in lock. But kitini, but if they're thin, then tre nami lo sisrei, then even two won't separate. And that's the brisa that he came with, or Yitzchak came with. That's the brisa. The amrile lahai gisa, and others had a different version. Kitini, if it's three, talasa yadi. If it's thin, then everybody could see that you've already done something constructive. So then it's already the ma'isa of Oreg. But Trey, lo yadi, nobody realizes because it's so thin. Ilime, but if it's thick, then Trey nami yadi, that even by two, it'll be recognizable. And that's the brisa that he came and said. So I was wondering, is this a machlokas and metzius? Didn't we always say you can't have a machlokas and just what the situation is?
Well,
it's not a machlokas and metzius.
What matters, doesn't matter that it's metzius or that it's going to be.
Yeah. Right, that must be the answer. It's a machlokas in what the perception is. In other words, what does it mean that it's yodi? That must be the machlokas, because you can't say it's a machlokas in metzias. Fine.
Because
no, Chacham says it's always two. It's always two, regardless. It's always two. It's always two.
But then, because the first way it's thin and you do two, it's not like it's not miskayamas.
Right, so he'll say it is miskayamas. Or maybe. Then it becomes a machlokas. Maybe the Chacham will say that two is just by definition chashuv. And there's no other way to answer that. By definition, two must be chashuv. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, ha'ore gimel chutin batchila. If somebody stitches three chutin initially, the echad al ha'arig, or one on an existing stitching, chayev yichayev. The Chacham omrim bein batchila bein besof shiuran beis chutin. no matter what. It doesn't make a difference where you are, it doesn't make a difference how you started out fresh, or you're continuing on other ones, it doesn't make a difference. You're chayiv beis chutin. Ubisafa, which is exactly what the mission said. Ubisafa, but if you're on a hem, or a border, or an end, then beis chutin berochav gimel batei nirin, then if you stow two stitches in the space of three batei nirin, which if you look at the picture makes sense. You have three of these batei nirin, but you're only using two of them. So it's two stitches in a wider area. Right? You're only using two of them, but in a three area. You're only using two, but you have three of them that are there. So it's all it means is it's a wider stitch. It's a wider stitch. So where are we? Ha'osei obeis chutin berochav gil batei nirin. Halama zedom. What's that compared to? La'oreg tziltzil katan. It's like somebody makes a small belt. Beis chutin berochav gimel batei nirin. Two stitches in an area of three batei nirin. Maybe because you want the stitching to be on the edges of the belt. So let's say you have one batei nir and one batei nir, and then the middle one open. So you're going to have stitching on the top and the bottom of the little belt. We're going to see in a second. Va'oreg gimel chutin batchila. And if you sew stitch three chutin initially, the echad al ha'arig, or one on the existing one, chayiv. In all those cases, you're chayiv. So stama k'Rabbi Eliezer. Stama like K'Rabbi Eliezer. That's exactly like the Mishnah. Since the second half is the Mishnah, it must be the whole thing is him. Okay? Now, Tanya Idach, we learned the exact opposite, which is going to say, we're going to say now stama chachamim. Tanya Idach, ha'oreis beis chutin al hagas. If somebody sews three chutin on a gas, Rashi says a gas is a fresh, brand new cloth. We're starting out brand new. Avala imra, and imra is also like a border. Chayev yachayev. Rabbi Eliezer Omer afilu echad, even one, because he holds even one. Ubisafa, and again ubisafa, and if there's a border or some kind of hem, shnei chutin. Berochav shlosha batei nirin. Then if you sew two in the space of three batei nirin, there are three openings, there are three loops there, but you're only using two of them. Right? Chayev, you're chayev. Ha lama zeh domer, what's this compared to? La'oreg tziltzil katan, it's like sewing a small belt. Shnei chutin arochav gil batei nirin, which is two chutin on three batei nirin, and va'oreg beis chutin al hagas v'al imra, and if somebody sews two chutin on either a brand new piece, or ba'al imra, or on a hem, chayev yachayev, that's stama kerabanan, that's stama like the rabbanan, because the rabbanan, the second half is like the rabbanan, which is exactly the Mishnah, so too, the whole statement is the rabbanan. So you have two brises, two conflicting brises, going, each one going like the other shita. Very difficult Gemara here, because it's very difficult to actually visualize what they're talking about. Now, ha'ose beis batei nirin. If somebody makes two batei nirin, so the Mishnah said, if somebody loops two batei nirin, bin nirin. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, my bin nirin? Because what the Gemara is driving at is, there's no other way, of course it's bin nirin, of course it's in the harness, right? Because, like we said, you have the bar, and the bar has batei nirin hanging down from it. So of course you're going to stitch them in the batei nirin, in the nirin. So what do you mean, bin nirin? Right? What does that mean? So, Amar Abaya said, tarti bebatei nira, two on the batei nir, v'chada benira, and one in the nir. What does that mean? So this is what it means as follows. The best I can do. The case is as follows. Instead of these harnesses with strings coming down, instead of this harness with strings coming down with loops on the bottom, there's no harness with strings coming down with loops on the bottom. What it is there's just a bar here, and there's no strings coming down. And somehow, you take one of the strings, and you loop it two times around the bar, and create a batei nir that way. And then you have one string going through the batei nir, through the hole. So you don't have a harness with strings coming down with an already existing batei nir. You don't have that. You take the strings going this way, you loop them twice, leave over a little space, and then you have your hole. And then the other direction, you put the string going through. Why you want to do that? It's an alternative way of sewing. It's an alternative way of using the loom. In the back of the art school, they have a diagram. That's what they explain the same thing. What?
More
Could be more efficient. You could be saving thread, whatever the reason is. So that's the case. You don't have these harnesses. You have just a bar, and looping on top around the bar, you have strings going through them. So that's what it means when it says binirin, because you the string itself is also the nir. So that's what Abaya says. Amar Abaya tarte rabate nir. It's two loops around the bar, and then v'chada binira, and then one nir going through, one string going through those loops. And that's how you create the garment that way. Fine. Next. Bekirus. My Bekirus. What's a Kirus? Amarav. Mitsuvisa. It's a Mitsuvisa, which is a harness. And Rashi says, Birias Gredin Haorgan Biregel Huvakarin Limish. Vumakamakana Oleg Biard Birias Arigas Noshim Shekarin Prisha. What the women sew for, I think it means blankets. The Kirus is this harness, this yellow harness over here. Which is a different way of having the loops going through. Yeah, this yellow thing is a kiris, this yellow harness. If you have the yellow harness, you don't have the batanirin, because this itself creates the stitching. Okay, that's that. We don't need the book anymore. Now we're done with the book. Next, v'atofer beis tefiros. The Mishnah said if you tofer beis tefiros, hotanina. But we already learned avos malachos v'atofer beis tefiros. So why is the Mishnah repeating it again? If somebody sews two stitches, we learned it already at Ayin Gimel. So the Gemara says, Mishum tekaboy lemisni seifa, because he wanted to let me know about the seifa of the Mishnah, which said, v'hakorea almanas lifor beis tefiros. And if you rip to with the condition to sew two batinirin, so two stitches, katoninami hatofer. Therefore, the Mishnah also says tofer. So the Gemara says, wait, v'hakorea hanami tanina, ba'abas malachos. But ripping is also mentioned in the Mishnah on Ayin Gimel. Right, so why are they both here? Ella mishum de kaboy lemisni seifa, because we want to tell you the seifa, which is going to be an amid beis, which is hakorea bechamaso v'al meso. If somebody rips out of anger, or they're ripping because they're rising kriya, right? They're performing the mitzvah of kriya. Mishum hachi, because of that, katani the Mishnah says hatofer shtei tefiros, and that's why it's all mentioned here for the chiddush on amid beis in the Mishnah. And the last line of the Mishnah was. V'hakorea almanas lidfor shtei tefiros. If somebody rips on the condition to re-sew it, heheke mishkachasla. How do you have such a case where you're going to rip with the condition to re-sew? So the Gemara says, the avdabei kisisa, where you're making a pocket. So if you're making a pocket, there's a little bit of a bulge. So if that bulge is made incorrectly, you'll rip it and then re-sew it. On a normal beggar, you wouldn't do that. What are you ripping for? But if it's a pocket and you made an incorrect stitching, it's a bulge, you'll rip it and then you'll re-sew it.
Why does he have to explain it that way? What can he explain
with the Mishnah? No, but so I guess they're asking, how does it apply in practical life? Like, when would it be a case that you'll rip on the condition to re-sew?
What? And
no, so if you get a hole in it, so re-stitch.
Right, so in the case in the Mishnah, it wasn't practical? There's a hole in it, so in order to repair it properly, you have to rip it a little more?
Right, no, because in the Mishnah we said it wouldn't look nice. So maybe a guy's not machbid, because it was the Mishkan. It was a place for the Melech. Okay. Next Mishnah. Also, the famous Mishnah. Hakorea b'chamaso. If somebody rips because he's angry, v'al meso, or he rips because of kriya. He's rising kriya, he's ripping his clothes because a relative of his died. V'chol ha-makalkalin, and any makalkal, any destructive act on Shabbos, peturin your putter. Why? Because in the Mishkan, anything done in the Mishkan was always constructive. So it was always, it's called Meleches Machsheves. There was no place in the Mishkan where something was done purely for destructive in that act. The two that we might think were destructive were ripping and soser and extinguishing, and there's one more. The last one is Chovel, which is the Tolda of killing. Right? If you hit somebody, right? All those things are seemingly destructive, but in the Mishkan they were all constructive, right? They ripped only to further sow. They extinguished only because they needed the charcoals. They destroyed so they could rebuild. Everything was all constructive. So if you rip because you're angry, that's not constructive, right? That's not a constructive act. You're only ripping because you're angry. So therefore, you're potter, and all makalkalin are potter. It's a lack of meleches machsheves. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that about Rabbi Yehuda in a minute.
It's not halacha.
What? It is halacha l'maisa. It is halacha l'maisa. What? It's also midrabbana. So this goes into the whole discussion about opening bags of potato chips, right? You're ripping. It's just, but we allow that. Because that's a little different reason. Because we hold that that you're not doing anything. You're just getting to the potato chips. If you're ripping open a bit, you have to learn the halacha when this applies, when it doesn't apply, right? But ripping is only the rabbanon, and there's a lot of coolness about when it comes to food, especially. There's a lot of coolness.
No, that's not anger.
That's not anger, right? If you rip for anger, it's halacha midrabbanon. Right. According to the Rambam, it's also midrashim that we're going to see, because we're going to bring in Rabbi Yehuda about melacha sheitzricha legufa, and the Rambam holds like Rabbi Yehuda, but we're going to get to all that. The hamakalkel al manas l'sakein, if you're destroying on condition to make it better, to make a takana, then shi'uron kim misakein, the shear is of misakein. Shear hamalabein, what's the shear of malabein? Is laundering. The hamanapet and combing out the wool. Vahatsoveya and dyeing, vahatova and spinning. We had this line already earlier in daf ayin tes. Kimale rachav hasit kafel. It's the distance of a sit doubled over. A sit is the distance between your front finger and your middle finger. That distance, when you make a V, that distance is called a sit. Double that shear. That's the shear for all these malachas. Va'oreg shtei chutin, and to sew two chutin. Fine, but how big is the stitch? How big is the string? Shiuro kimale hasit, just an ordinary sit. That's the shear for sewing. So the Gemara says, Verminu, but I'll ask you a question on the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if you rip because you're angry or you rip because of a mace, you're putter. But we have a braisa that says, Hakorea bechamaso uba evalo, if somebody rips in anger or over his avel, the avalo of al meso, or over his mace, chayev, you're chayev. Even though you're machal Shabbos, because you're chayev for ripping in this case, nevertheless, yotze yidei kriya, you fulfilled your mitzvah of kriya, and you don't have to do kriya after Shabbos. Does anyone have a kasha on that? Mitzvah baba veira, right? It's a mitzvah baba veira, right? You're ripping, you fulfill your mitzvah of kriya, but you chayev Shabbos. Isn't that a mitzvah baba veira? So the Yerushalmi asks that question. There are two answers to this question. Tosfos answers that the only time we say mitzvah baba veira is if you can't do the mitzvah otherwise. I don't have a lulav. So the only way I'm ever going to get to the mitzvah of lulav is if I steal one. So that's mitzvah baba veira. But here, so if you don't do kriya Shabbos, do it after Shabbos. So we don't say mitzvah baba veira if you have another way of doing the mitzvah. So just have to wait. By lulav, you know, you're quite all sukkahs. You're never getting a lulav. You don't have one. If you don't steal the matzah, you're not going to eat matzah. You're never going to do the mitzvah. So then we say mitzvah baba veira. But over here, you could just wait till after Shabbos. So we would not apply the rule of mitzvah baba veira, and therefore you get your mitzvah of kriya. Yeah, you're writing kriya on Shabbos. You find out that your relative passed away, and right away on Shabbos, no, you're not allowed to do that, but the guy does it. So the bride says, you're chayev for ripping. But your mitzvah of kriya, you did. You're chayev means midaraisa. So we're assuming you can wait. Listen, it's Shabbos, you're not allowed to rip, you have to wait. If you do, the Gemara says you're chayev, but you get your mitzvah. So how could you get your mitzvah? It's mitzvah baba veira. So the Tosfos says no, because you could wait. Mitzvah baba veira is only if you know other way of doing the mitzvah. Then we say mitzvah baba veira. The other mafarshim, the Beis Hillel, is a different pshat. He says the only time we say mitzvah baba veira is with a maisa of an aveira. If the maisa helps you do the mitzvah, for example, you can only say it with a cheftza of an aveira. For example, a lulav or matzah or a shofar. If you steal those, then we say mitzvah baba veira. Here, there's no cheftza of an aveira. You did an act of an aveira. The act was ripping. There's no cheftza. So then we don't say mitzvah baba veira. There's two ways to get out of that problem. Anyway, we have a stira. The Mishnah says if you rip in anger or you rip out of kriya, you're potter. And this price says you're chayiv. So the Gemara says, lokash, it's not a problem. Ha, the mace, the day. If it's your mace, then you get something, you get a benefit out of it. Because you get to be mekayim in the mitzvah, as the Rashi explains, you get a benefit out of kriya. If it's your mace, then you're chayev. Ha, the mace to alma. But the Mishnah is talking about stam. You heard someone die, so you rise to kriya. So you don't get anything out of that. You don't have a mitzvah to do it. Therefore, you're potter. So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Ha meso ketani." But the Mishnah says, "Ha meso." It's your mace, right? So how can you say it's mace to alma? It's your mace. The Mishnah says. So the Gemara says, "You're right." La'olam b'mace d'day. Really, it is your mace. But it's somebody who you're not mechuyev to do kriya for. It's a third cousin. Say it's your mace. You're the only relative alive, so you have to do the burial. There's no one else. But there's no mitzvah of kriya for that. So that's what the Mishnah's talking about. So you're a mace. Yeah, he's under your charge. No, no, no. That was the brisa. That was the brisa. The brisa. Yeah, so that's the brisa talking about where it's not your third cousin. It's a mamash, one of the seven krovim, right? One of the seven krovim. So one of the seven krovim, you have to do it. So then you get a benefit because you're getting a mitzvah.
Does that make sense?
Well, wait, right now we're assuming that it's a malachat tzricha leguf. Right now we're assuming that since you get a tikkun because you do the mitzvah, therefore it's constructive, it's not makalkel. That's what we're talking about makalkel. But if it's some cousin, and you're the only relative, you have the you're responsible for the burial, but you don't have to do kriya, so when you rip, you're makalkel. Therefore you're potter. What? We're gonna get to anger in a minute. V'ichacham hu. So the Gemara asks, but wait a minute. But if the person who died is a chacham, then chiyuve mechayev. You would be mechayev in the mitzvah of kriya anyway. The Tanya, because you learned in a brisa, chacham shemes. If a chacham dies, right, chacham in the city, hakol krovim. Everybody's his relative. So the Gemara says, hakol krovim. So look at that. Everybody's his relative. Ela ema hakol kikrovav. Everybody's treated like a relative. Hakol kruin alav. Everybody has to do kriya. Hakol chaltsin alav. Everybody has to. Rashi said in the olden days, they used to bear their shoulder out of kriya. Everyone has to do that. Everyone has to bare their shoulders, a sign of mourning. Hakol mevarin alav beruchava. Everybody gets to partake of the Suda Havara, the first meal after you come back from the cemetery. And they used to do it in the street, in public. And the food can't be from your own, it has to be from somebody else. Everybody was able to partake in that. Right? So you see from over here that, what do you mean? If he's your chacham, you would be mechoyev. So the Gemara says, yeah, lo tzricha, delav chacham hu. But in the Mishnah's case, he's not a chacham. He's somebody who you're responsible for, but he's not a chacham. So you would have no mitzvah of kriya. So your kriya is just makalkel. Now the Gemara asks the same question. V'i adam kosher hu. But if he's an upright man, he's an adam kosher. Chayuvei mechayev, you would be mechayev. The Tanya, because we have a brisa. But ma meisim banav ubenosav shel adam. Why is it that people have their children, unfortunately, Rachman al Tzan, why is it that they die? Mipnei kishen ketanim, when they're ketanim, kidei sheyivke v'is aval adam kosher. In order so that somebody should cry and mourn over an adam kosher. So the Gemara says, what? Kadesha Yivka? That you should cry? So Arvuna Shakli Mine? What? You're getting punished before you do the Aveira? Right? Someone's children died so that he should do this in the future? That makes no sense. Eli, you're right. Eli, Rabnei, Shalo Bachav is Abel Adam Kasher. Because the guy didn't do that. The guy wasn't his Abel for Adam Kasher. Therefore, unfortunately, that's a terrible punishment. That's what happens to his children. Why? Shekal ha-bocha al-adam kosher. If anyone does cry for adam kosher, mochel al-kol av-anosav. B'shvil kavod sh'asa. He's forgiven for all his sins because of the unbelievable kavod he afforded that adam kosher. So you see that if it's adam kosher, you would have to do kriya. So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha d'lav adam kosher hu. He's not an adam kosher. Fine, so again, he's a relative, you have to do kriya, but you have to bury him, but there's no mitzvah of kriya. He's not an adam kosher, he's not an adam kosher. He's none of those things, he's a regular guy. Because it's assuming that all the mourning includes kriya, and then the Gemara says one more try. If you're present in the room when the person dies, chiyuve mechayev. You mechayev to do kriya as well, even if he's not a relative. If you're present in the room, the Tanya, because we're to the brisa, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Omer al hameis b'shas itziyas neshama. If somebody is in a room when the neshama departs. Chayev l'kroa, yuchayev, to do kriya, even if you're not a relative. L'mahazeh dome, what does it compare to? L'sefer Torah shenisrafa. If you watch a sefer Torah get burnt, if you see a sefer Torah get burnt, you have to do kriya. If you heard about it, right? We all heard what happened in the war. Maybe you don't have to, but if you see it, then you have to. Rashi explains what's the connection between a sefer Torah and a neshama. So Rashi says an unbelievable line. He says, She'ein l'cha rik be Yisrael. There's no person in Yisrael. She'ein lo Torah u'mitzvos. That doesn't have Torah and mitzvos. So if you, unbelievable line. So if, the whole machlokas, and what if you know the guy has no Torah and mitzvos? The whole machlokas achronah about that. And you watch him die. These, you know, people that were mumma their whole life and they didn't do anything good. Do you have to write kriya for them if you watch them die? The whole discussion about that. The Rashi is assuming no such person. Right? There's no such person in Yisrael without Torah and mitzvos. So if you see a person die, it's just like you saw a Sefer Torah get destroyed. When a Sefer Torah dies, when a Sefer Torah gets burnt, it's finished. And when a person dies, his Torah is finished. His mitzvot are gone. And you saw that. So you have to do kriya. So the Gemara answers, "Lo tzricha de lo kriya b'shas tzitzit neshama." You weren't there, right? So again, we're talking about makalkel. Talking about makalkel, you have a mitzvah to bury him. Yes, he's a relative. He's not an adam chashuv. He's not an adam kasher. You weren't in the room when it happened, but you still have a mitzvah. But kriya, that's pure makalkel. And that's the Mishnah. The Brisa says, no, he was your relative, so it's not Makalka, it's a ticket. Okay? Now the Gemara says, Tinach Meso. Fine, that makes sense with the mace. All this whole discussion. El Chamaso Achamaso Kasha. What about Chamaso? What about anger? The Mishnah says you're Pater, the Brisa says you're Chayiv. So the Gemara says, Chamaso Achamaso Namilo Kasha. Not a problem. Why? Oh, Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon. The Mishnah is Reb Shimon. If you're ripping out of anger, that's a malacha shei tzricha legufa. There's no constructive purpose for the ripping. You're only ripping because you're angry. But according to Yehuda, he holds malacha shei tzricha legufa tzchayev. Right? He holds malacha shei tzricha legufa tzchayev. Therefore, you rip because you're angry, you're chayev. Rashi says, now that we said this answer, we could also say that the mace is the same answer. Right? The mace is talking about Reb Shimon. And the Brice is talking about Rabbi Yehuda. And Rashi says, we didn't say this initially because we wanted to say that the Brice and Mishnah are one person. We were trying to say that. Now we're stuck with the Chamasa, we can't get out of it. So we're going to say it's two different people. The Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, the Brice is Rabbi Yehuda. Ha Rabbi Yehuda da'am alacha shetzvicha l'gufa chayv aleha. That's the Brice. Ha Rabbi Shimon da'am alacha shetzvicha l'gufa patar aleha. That's how the Gemara is bothered with Rabbi Yehuda. Eima d'shmar says Rabbi Yehuda b'mesakein. When did Rabbi Yehuda say his din of Malacha She'ein Tzvicha L'guf Tzchayev where there's still some constructive act? Some constructive was done. It might not be the same constructive act of the Mishkan, right? I want the mace out of the room. I don't want to carry it from here to there. I just don't want it here. That's something constructive. That's not what carrying was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, carrying was done because he wanted to move something from A to place B. Here, I just don't want the mace in my house. It's stinking up the house. That's still constructive. But here, there's no constructive at all. It's totally destructive. So even Rabbi Yehuda would say you should still be potter. So why are you chayiv? Right, but makalkal mish maslei. Just a pure act of destruction and ripping in anger, you're going to be chayiv? So the Gemara of Oven, hanan misakin hu. This is also a mice of tikkun. Why? The ka'avid nachas ruach li yitzro. Because you've calmed down your yetzahara. Right? You're angry, now you calm down. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Is that a mutter thing to do? It's a mutter to be angry so you calm down. V'hatanya, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Reb Shimon Chilfa bar Agra, Shinamar Mishra Reb Yochanan ben Nuri, Hamakarea bivagadav. Somebody rips his clothes, Bechamasa, because he's angry. V'hamashaber Kalev, or he breaks Kalev, Bechamasa, because he's angry, he's furious. V'hamafadze ma'osa Bechamasa, he throws his money around because he's angry. V'yehene benecha ko'obed avodah zara. He's like somebody who's over the avodah zara. Shekach umunasal she yetzahara, because that's how the yetzahara works. Hayom omelo asei locha. Today he tells you. So I think Rashi here says it's the yetzahara of anger. It's the yetzahara of anger. This is how the yetzahara works. It gets you all angry, and when you're angry, you don't think clearly. And the reason why you ilu over the avodah zara is all this. All the Muslims around talk about this because when you're angry and you display anger, what you're showing is that you have no regard for Hashem's judgment. If you stub your toe, if you get into a car accident, and you're all angry, but it happened for a reason. Hashem, nothing happens by accident. So it's all the hashkacha of Hashem. But you getting angry, you're denying that. So if you deny that, it's like Yilo Ovid Avodah Zarah. So the Yetzirah tells you, Omer lo hasei kach, ulamacha omer lo hasei kach. The next day, a little bit more. Ad until she omer lo Ovid Avodah Zarah. Such an extreme thing. V'holech v'ovid, and you go ahead and do it. That's the way all the Moshe's farm talk about this. We're going to mention one thing from the Chavetz Chaim in a second. How the anger can take over a person. So Amar Avavin, my Kra, what's the pasuk that supports that? He says, Lo yiyah b'cha, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, Lo yiyah b'cha elzar, right? Don't bow down to a foreign god. V'lo seshtachavel el nechar. Ezehu elzar sheyesh b'gufo shel adam. What is a foreign god within a person? Havyom mezeh yetzahara. That's the yetzahara. So what do you see from here? You see from here that if somebody gets angry just so that now he's placated, that's not a good thing. You're not allowed to do that even during the week. If you do that, you eat a little bit of avodah zarah. So what do you mean that's his tikkun? His tikkun is he calmed down, he let off some steam. You're not allowed to do that. So what's his tikkun? So the Gemara answers very, very difficult, hashkafically, very difficult answer. The Gemara says, the ka'ovid lemirma anse a'inche beise. No, you're not really angry. You're just pretending to be angry to strike fear in your household. So you're doing all these things, you're not really angry. You're not allowed to be angry. But you can pretend to be angry so that everybody in your house should know you're the boss. How do you know? Kiyad Rav Yehuda shalef mitzviyasa. Rav Yehuda used to throw, what's a mitzviyasa? Forgot. He used to throw the, forgot what that is. What is that? A what? Oh right, he used to rip off the hem of his garment and throw it. Rav Acha bar Yaakov tovar mani tivra. He used to throw broken pieces of Caleb. Rav Sheshes Romile imse munine areshe. Rav Sheshes used to throw the fish at the head of his maidservant. Rav Acha tovar nachsama. Rav Acha used to break the lids of the pitchers. Right? So you see from over here that all these things, they used to do all these things. The whole question is about Baltashkas. But somehow, some say that for this constructive purpose, this trumps Baltashkas. Or it could be that none of these things were in the Gedra of Baltashkas altogether. Fine, so we'll stop here. Just one more line from the Chavetz Chaim. So the Chavetz Chaim says, in Shemir Taloshan, in the second Chalak, he says, the Pasuk of Lo Yebecha El Zar Lo Shetach Be'El Nechar is followed by a Pasuk that says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, right? So that's the pasuk that follows right after the pasuk of Lo Yebecha Ol Elzar. So the Chavetz Chaim says, shouldn't that be pasuk first? Anochi Hashem Elokecha is in the Aseret Dibros first, and then you have the pasukim about not bowing down to idols. Why is it reversed? So he says it's exactly the point. Fine, the Torah Hashem lays down the law that He's first. Once He said that, now it's up to us. We have to get rid of our Yetzer first. And then pihu. Then Hashem is ready. Anochi Hashem. Then Hashem is ready to give us the Torah. But we first have to work on ourselves. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Kogel family. We will get the any names or any refuah shleimus for tomorrow.